Welcome to Advent. My name is Father John Cusick, and along with my colleagues, Dr. Kate DeVries and Mrs. Socorro Perez from the Young Adult Ministry Office in the Archdiocese of Chicago, I invite you to take a spiritual journey with us. This is a journey like no other. In our travels, we'll encounter angels and stars, shepherds and kings, animals and amazing dreams, prophets and preachers, a carpenter, and a virgin mother. They will all move us toward the light of the world, a tiny child.
We offer you sacred time in this very busy season. We present these Advent reflections as a way of staying focused on Christ and the traditions of our Catholic faith. We hope these scripture readings, reflections, songs, poems, and prayers bring you peace, insights, and a spirit-filled calm to carry you through these days leading up to Christmas. So now, let's begin our journey.
Each week during Advent, some amazing people come alive off the pages of our scripture. Isaiah keeps reminding the people of his time, and now us, that the Lord will intervene in daily life and make daily life holy. John the Baptist enters the scene, and he preaches a tough message. Repent. Reform your lives. And of course, there is a woman. The woman. Mary. It is about Mary that Isaiah spoke. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel.
It's Advent. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. During Advent, we pause, embrace life a bit deeper, and awaken to the reality of the coming of the Lord, both today as Christmas approaches and at the end of time. In that pausing, that embracing, that awakening, we are invited to see things differently, and perhaps even to act differently.
Sing out, rejoice in this land. Make straight the way, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Shall sing of the power of God.
Be prepared for you, Lord.
As long as the sun shall remain, so the name of the Lord God will
Advent is a call to wake up to the activity of God and more fully enter into the practices of our faith leading up to Christmas. We are invited to pay attention to those moments and situations in our daily lives when God is calling us to act differently and to see things through the eyes of Christ. Advent occurs on the four darkest weeks of the entire year. We are being asked to literally see through this darkness and to embrace the light of Christ.
There is something urgent about Advent. Jesus was not using his nice voice when he said, "Do you have eyes but not see, ears but not hear?" The mystery of the Incarnation is apparently a cooperative venture. The Incarnation depends on our cooperation, on our waking up, on our paying attention. I am reminded of a story I heard recently from friends of long standing who live in different parts of the country. To celebrate and sustain their friendship, these two women convene twice a year for shared relaxation, adventure, and fun. One such occasion found them biking in North Carolina. They were totally outfitted for their adventure at a local shop by a young man who was clearly knowledgeable, familiar with, and passionate about bikes and biking. Just before heading out, one of the women said to the young man, "We only have 2 days, and we're primarily interested in beauty. Would you suggest that we head down the coast or into the forest?" The young man looked perplexed. The woman repeated her question. "With respect to beauty, would you suggest we go down the coast or into the forest?" When his expression didn't change, my friend asked, with a hint of frustration, "Don't you bike around here?" Without hesitation, he responded that he normally biked around 200 miles a week. My friend raised her voice, thinking that perhaps volume might add clarity to the situation. "Okay, then. With respect to beauty, down the coast or into the forest?" Somewhat defensively, the young man responded, "Geez, lady, I can't really help you. I never look up when I bike." Advent begs us to look up. Advent begs us to refuse to cooperate with a culture that suggests the whole enterprise is a race, a culture that would have us commit ourselves to productivity, efficiency, multitasking, and speed to the exclusion of beauty, of grace, of the divine. We partake in the spiritual exercise of Advent so that when Christmas dawns, we are looking up. So that when Christmas dawns, we are present to the beauty of God's mysterious and tenacious presence within, between, and amongst us once again.
Kids, it would seem, are naturals when it comes to Advent. Perhaps one of the challenges of Advent is to reclaim the spirit of the child within us. To recapture the spirit of the child is to be aggressively, passionately attentive and awake. To reclaim the spirit of the child is to be all caught up in wonder, delight, awe, surprise, and curiosity. To be childlike is to be down on our knees staring into puddles, looking at upside-down worlds, pulling seeds apart to figure out how a tree could possibly fit in there. Advent beckons us to our knees in wonder, delight, and awe. Who better to help us appreciate the Advent brilliance than a mother beholding her child?
I've studied lots of things: communication, psychology, art. But I'm not always sure that I get it. I'm not sure I see things very clearly. This year, when I started to think about Advent, it felt really complicated. What can I do to prepare myself spiritually? What kind of events should I attend to get into the Christmas spirit? I know there's a great concert at Old St. Pat's. What new spiritual book should I read? How to avoid the materialism of the Christmas season, of course. Etc., etc., etc. So much to do when all I really want is to be present to the joy, love, and peace of Christ. Isn't that what Advent's all about? Maybe I don't have to try so hard to wake up to this reality. In his gospel, Luke says that Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, For although you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. After reading that passage, I figured I needed to consult an expert, someone I considered an authority on these matters. That would be my 7-year-old son, Evan. I asked him what makes him feel really happy and alive. He immediately said, chocolate ice cream, and reminded me of something that happened this summer. It was a very warm evening, and we went to 5 o'clock Mass. On the way into church, as he put his hand into the holy water font to bless himself, he said to me, Mom, they should really fill this with ice cream. A lot more people would come. A few people heard him, and they smiled. What a blessed interchange. They felt his joy, and he felt theirs. The whole Mass became an adventure for him. Everything about it was a wonder. He was almost dancing along to the music, and everyone around him received a very heartfelt handshake of peace. And, of course, right after Mass, we had to go out for ice cream. He picked chocolate and literally dove into his dish, his face completely covered in it. Just like at Mass, others felt his joy. I heard an older gentleman say that he wished he could enjoy something so completely and freely. Sometimes, just diving right into what's in front of you wakes you up to life as it is right now. And really, that's all there is. If we simply listen, we can hear. If we open our eyes, we can see. As Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Children seem to see Christmas through fresh eyes each year. I think during Advent, we need fresh eyes too. I know I get so caught up in the routine of things that it seems like I'm asleep. How do I wake up? Now when I see these opportunities for joy, I think of them as spiritual alarm clocks, ways to awaken to the good things that surround me all the time. This Advent, I'll spend more time playing, letting go, and waking up to joy. I'll put down my books, put away my complicated plans, and dive into a big dish of whatever blessings are right in front of me. Sometimes it takes a child to guide me, just like on Christmas Day.
Isaiah, the great prophet of Advent, tells us that when God comes among us, we will experience a completely new way of life. Isaiah uses images from the animal world to describe what life will be like when God reigns. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Mortal enemies will coexist, and a child will be the leader. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? As Joe Mattingly's song, On That Holy Mountain, describes, when the Lord comes among us, wild and wonderful things happen.
Sacred day shall be more shall we see from the ridge on that holy mountain.
Sick and the lame shall be healed on that holy mountain.
The wicked shall be slain by God's breath on that holy mountain. On that holy mountain. On that holy mountain of the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God, during these Advent days, you call upon us to seek the Lord. We ask your guidance to help us see beyond the harsh realities we experience every day. Our world is filled with violence, terrorist attacks, suicide bombings, drive-by shootings, abuse in so many forms affecting so many people. Help us at this time of the year to visualize the respect and the love of Christ, the light of the world, brought to us and all people.
Loving God, in spite of the many gestures and acts of love and kindness we see on a routine basis, there is still so much indifference displayed for the sacredness of human life. May our actions, always done in the Spirit of Christ, be a bright, shining light that dispels the darkness of indifference. During Advent and throughout the year, be present to us, Lord God, as we reveal to all the world the vision of Isaiah, Emmanuel, God with us.